This podcast is for professional investors only. Capital at risk.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of LGIM Talks. My name's Anthony, and I'm a content manager here at LMG. Today, I'm delighted to share a very recent talk that our CIO, Sonia Loud, did in conjunction with Professional Pensions. In her presentation, Sonia reflects on what happened in investment markets in 2024, before assessing the key factors investors need to weigh up as they look ahead into 2025. So, with no further ado, here's our CIO, Sonia Loud.
Now, before looking forward into the new year, it's always worth taking a step back and understanding what actually has happened throughout 2024. And it's very clear that 2024 has been a very good year for risk assets, and it definitely was another year of US exceptionalism, not only when it comes to market returns, but clearly when it comes to economic growth and the developments compared to other parts of the world. Now, when we started 2024, it was not all plain sailing, and there's a number of concerns listed here on this page that were prevailing back then. Now, as it turns out, none of these came to pass. And you see that, of course, on the right-hand side, we actually have now changed some of the prognosis, particularly when it comes to economic growth. Now, not surprisingly, back in 2024, the expectation was that on the back of the historic rate hike cycle with regards to magnitude and speed, the economic would take a turn to the worse. But in fact, it turned out that the US was far more resilient than expected. And now we're looking at an environment where recession has all but priced out of the expectations. And everything we're talking about is about the soft landing and whether the 2% expected growth rate is realistic or not. Similarly, inflation has come down, potentially a bit stickier than expected, but it definitely has allowed the Fed to start the rate cut cycle alongside other major central banks around the world. Now, another big topic was how far can the Magnificent Seven continue to go? And it's been a big talk around bubbles, a big talk around whether there has been exuberance already priced in. But again, so far, we have not seen any change in that trend prevailing. When we talk about bubbles, it's first and foremost around valuation expansion. And as you can see, yes, valuation expansion has been a big part of the overall return profile, but earnings growth has been equally very, very healthy, and expectations are for a continuation of this trend into 2025. Why is this important? Because, of course, equity markets are very sensitive to a change of growth rate in underlying earnings. But as long as the economy can continue, even at a slightly slower trend, earnings growth is expected to continue. Now, the legitimacy of the US election clearly has not been challenged. But if we now look into 2025, it's very clear that markets will spend the majority of their time looking at political risk and how to price it. It is worth mentioning that developed markets are not particularly good in pricing political risks. That's very much in contrast to looking at emerging markets, where, of course, you start with political risk before you even look at fundamentals. Now, what we do know is that Trump has been given a very different mandate, and this is why a lot of attention now put towards the headline policy measures that he has already shared during the campaign trail. Now, if we look at those individually, and I'm not going through all of these, but it is worth looking at least one or two, the high-profile ones, anti-trade, tax cuts and spending, and potentially anti-immigration. Because, of course, what we are most interested in is how these will influence the fundamentals, i.e. growth and inflation. Starting with trade, tariffs probably has been the most prominent topic on the campaign trail, and there has been eye-watering numbers mentioned in what he intends to implement on goods coming from China in particular and Europe, of course, i.e. those areas that have big trade surpluses with the US. Now, for Trump, of course, it's to understand the trade-offs. If he were to implement, let's say, a 60% blanket tariff on China, that would create inflationary pressures at home. Now, increased inflationary pressures are in direct contradiction to what he's promised his people, i.e. bringing prices down. Because as you recall, it was particularly the price increases that happened on the back of the inflationary shock that has led to a lowering of the standards of living, particularly for low-income households. So there is a balancing act. There is a trade-off that the administration has to consider in order to follow through the campaign promises that were made. What we have to anticipate is that the tariff threats are used as a negotiating tool with both China and the European Union in order to get better trade deals for the US. Likewise, tax cuts and spending, lots of promises around extending the tax cuts that were already implemented under Trump's first administration, and of course, additional spending on top of this. Now, that's in direct conflict with the already elevated budget deficit and the very elevated debt level. And Congress will have to manage the balancing act to get both of these right. Anti-immigration, again, has been a very, very hot topic, and it's worth mentioning that immigration has been probably the prevailing topic in all elections we have seen in 2024. And as such, we will not only see the Trump administration tackling this topic, but we do expect this topic to dominate the political agenda around the world. Why does it matter from a markets and economic standpoint? Because the immigration, the influx of illegal immigrants actually has been a boost to the economy in 2024. So if you were to reverse that trend, and if you were, as he promised, deport some of these people, you would have a tightening of the labor market that again would be inflationary, but at the same time would have a negative impact on growth. So the balancing act for us as investors, point one, is make sure to read the tea leaves right in all the noise and the headlines we're getting, and make sure we have a good understanding of the different scenarios on the growth and inflation outlook. And of course, why does it matter in particular? Because it will influence the rate cut cycle of the Fed. Now, if we now look at markets, then they seem blissfully ignorant to all these threats. Markets, in fact, have only discounted all the good stuff, i.e. the deregulation, the tax cuts, the fiscal handouts, but there's nothing really priced in for the risks I've just highlighted. And of course, what I haven't even mentioned yet is the geopolitical risk. More friction, more economic and trade friction inevitably will lead to an exacerbation of the already strained geopolitical situation. And again, if you look at the spreads here, it seems the market believes that none of this is impacting the fundamentals, and as such, we are happy to see a continuation of a very strong market backdrop in 2024. Now, the spreads are near or at or even below historic tights, and that always is a warning signal to investors, because it's very clear in the credit market that, yes, coupons are still interesting, but of course your starting point means that capital appreciation will be very, very difficult to find. How does it look like in comparison to equities? Again, it's very clear comparing the two is not always straightforward, because with spreads that tight, your starting point is the coupon. And it seems that you actually only have downside in the context of a risk of environment, whereas, of course, for equities, the upside is higher depending on how strong earnings growth will come in. So hence, it is quite an asymmetric profile we're looking at here, and hence we would have a slight preference for equities at this point, but we have to remain humble, because you saw from some of the binary examples I've been given around policy decisions that all the assumptions we're currently taking have to be based on a base scenario, but we need to make sure that we have to adjust these based on what President Trump will tell us once he is in office. Finally, coming to the UK, first and foremost, the UK is not very different to the rest of the world. Of course, gilt yields are far closer to treasuries than they are to bund yields. The reason is relatively straightforward. The economic and inflationary path in the Eurozone has been far clearer and more straightforward, yet not very exciting. So we've had subdued growth. We had inflation coming down faster, actually. So a very clear mandate for the ECB to start, actually. They did kick off the rate cut cycle and, of course, have been more consistent ever since they started, simply because of the clearer picture that they have fundamentally. Now, for the Fed, as I've just highlighted, it's been less clear. not only because the US economy has been so much more resilient and the growth gap between the US and the rest of the world has opened up and has widened further throughout 2024, but of course that means as well that it's not as straightforward for the Fed to start cutting, because against a positive backdrop, there is not really a reason to do so. Now, inflation has been coming down in the US and has been moving towards trend, although everything I've said around the labor market, of course, again, puts a question mark on how much further the Fed can go throughout 2025. And it's very obvious that the market has already taken back a lot of the expectations for rate cuts. And we've taken out roughly 100 basis point plus in expected rate cuts. So we're down for about 2 cuts potentially towards the end of 2025. Now, for the Bank of England, the journey has not been quite as clear either. So they're probably in the middle between the Eurozone and the US, because, of course, the growth environment is more aligned to the Eurozone, whereas the inflationary backdrop has not been quite as clear. It took longer to start coming back. And, of course, it has been stickier of late. That's the chart in the middle. And, of course, the Bank of England has to weigh both of these and has to, again, then put it in context of what we've learned from the latest budget. Our expectation is that we will see more rate cuts from the Bank of England throughout 2025. And this is why, if you look at the overall picture, it seems that UK actually provides decent relative value compared to other markets. And tying it all together, it's very clear that it will be a year of finding relative opportunities, because overall, it's clear that the market pricing, both in equities and in fixed income, is very high. It is expensive, but of course there will be relative value opportunities. And it is all about understanding as well where you would like to invest in the case of higher volatility, in the case of a dislocation, simply because we will get a lot of noise from policy decisions, but that might well create opportunities for investors to re-engage with the market and to pick up some of these opportunities as and when they arise.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. The views expressed in this podcast are those of Legal & General Investment Management Limited, as at the date of publication. This podcast is for information purposes only, and we are not soliciting any action based on it. The information discusses general economic, market or political issues and/or industry or sector trends. It does not constitute research or investment, legal or tax advice. It is not an offer or recommendation or advertisement to buy or sell securities or pursue a particular investment strategy. Assumptions, opinions, and estimates are provided for illustrative purposes only. There is no guarantee that any forecast made will come to pass. No party shall have any right of action against Legal & General in relation to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Where this document contains third-party information, the accuracy and completeness of such information cannot be guaranteed, and we accept no responsibility or liability in respect of such information, not for distribution to any person resident in any jurisdiction where such distribution would be contrary to local law or regulation. Copyright 2024. Legal & General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. In Hong Kong, this material is issued by Legal & General Investment Management Asia Limited, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on X, formerly known as Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website.